and pretty maids all in a row. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. The first mentioned fell down and broke his crown, and his girlfriend came tumbling after. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. He had a very great fall.
Well, if you recited them like that to your children, Derek, you know, I wonder they ever managed to understand anything. Clement Freud, you challenged.
Hesitation.
Hesitation was right, of course, because he tried to find another way of expressing Humpty. And there are 9 seconds left on Keeping Baby Amused, Clement, starting now.
I do loathe expressions like baby when, in fact, you mean the child or infant. But Keeping Baby Amused is best done.
Christopher Timothy challenged.
The treated baby.
It's on the card, Keeping Baby Amused. An incorrect challenge, and 1 second's left on Keeping Baby Amused, starting now.
Making faces.
So whoever is speaking as the whistle is blown gets an extra point. It was on this occasion Clement Freud. He has most points at the end of the round. 3, he's ahead of Derek Nimmo, and Barry Cryer and Christopher Timothy have yet to score. But it's early days. Clement Freud, will you take the next round? The subject, Rotten Hosts. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
In order to identify a rotten host, you have to be a rotten guest. Otherwise, there's no way that you could tell. And I think somebody who accepts an invitation when he doesn't know the quality of the person who is going to be the beneficiary of largesse ought to be thoroughly ashamed of himself. I went to Sri Lanka to stay with some people, and my youngest son advised me that on that island, which used to be called Ceylon, there was a desperate shortage of Nescafe and toilet paper. And because I had been invited by someone who was gracious, I brought with me huge bundles of supply of both those commodities to find that they were in no shorter...
So Derek Nimmo challenged. He just couldn't get round that one. And Derek, you are on hesitation, I know. 16 seconds, rotten hosts starting now.
The only time I've ever had or eaten a rotten host was, in fact, in Bordeaux in France. In the great cathedral, the monolith there, I was made a member of the Jurat of Saint-Emilion. And curious enough, the frogs, instead of having wafers, they have actual bread. Now, perhaps it was a few days old, I don't know, but it really was the most rotten host.
Right, Derek Nimmo was speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's now equal in the lead with Clement Freud and Barry Cryer. Your turn to begin. The subject, fox. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
The fox is a dog-like carnivore known in the Latin as vulpes, and the same word again, twice in essence. It is of a red, grey, or even white hue on the underbelly. That is where the last colour usually occurs, but red to brown is the usual combination.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
I'm just red.
You had red and brown.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I'm afraid.
I did. I noticed that.
Yes, you did.
I was listening while I was talking.
Which is quite a feat, isn't it? 41 seconds for you, Derek, on fox, starting now.
Now, the fox was known, or used in military terms, as the English broadsword. Now, this is really quite interesting, because the metal itself was made in Toledo in Spain, you know, the old capital city before Philip moved it to Madrid. And the fox was the sign of the maker that made this particular kind of weaponry. Now, that went into the English parlance and has remained so right through to the present day. So if you go on to Greenwich Naval College and you say, "Can I have a look at your fox?" he'll whip it out and show it to you. Mind you, I like fox hunting myself. There's no more exciting time than on a boxing day when you hear the master...
So, once he got the subject of fox, Derek Nimmo kept going till the whistle went, and now has increased, he's increased his lead over Clement Freud at the end of the round, and Derek, it's your turn to begin. The subject, peers. Will you tell us something about peers, starting now?
I have a son who is called Piers James Alexander Nimmo. He's 21 this year. He's 6'2" tall, extraordinarily thin, and tolerably thick, but he's very pleasant, and I've always liked him a great deal. And somehow he went around with me this year as stage manager through some 16 countries in a play called The Little Hut. And I said, "Hello, Piers." And he says, "Hello, Derek." I didn't like him.
Clement Freud challenged.
Two hellos.
Yes, you were saying hello too often, I'm afraid. Clement, 32 seconds for Piers, starting now.
We used to have a lot of them in East Anglia. Yarmouth, Pierre, Lowestoft, Southweld, Felixstowe, Harwich. And if you go round the country, you will find them at Brighton, Hastings, New Haven, and Plymouth, Exeter.
Barry Crowe challenge.
Is there still a pier at Plymouth?
There's not one at Exeter, Barry.
I was coming to that.
Barry, you have 17 seconds to tell us something about Piers, starting now.
The word Piers reminds me of Donald, a singer who used to regale us with "By a Babbling Brook." He was a charming man who would never sit down in his stage suit because he said it creased it. His trouser creases were amazing to behold.
An incorrect challenge, yes. He said crease and creases that time. So, Barry, you have another point for an incorrect challenge, and 5 seconds left on Piers, starting now.
I once got a finger on the trousers of the aforementioned gentleman who was about to walk on the stage to regain it.
So Barry Crowe was speaking when the whistle went the first time for quite a while, because it's a long time since he was last with us. And he has now moved into third place, just 1 point behind Clement Freud, and two behind Derek Nimmo, and Christopher Timothy begins the next round, which is superstition. Will you tell us something about superstition, Christopher, starting now?
This is rife in theatre circles, one of the most famous being that an actor should never, ever say the word of the Scottish king immortalised by William Shakespeare, whose name actually was Macbeth. Neither should you whistle in the dressing room, because that can only bring bad luck. And one of the strangest I find is soap in the sink. It is said that if you leave same material in the sink when you leave...
Oh.
What?
Sink. You managed not to repeat the word soap, but you did repeat the word sink.
Did I?
Yes.
Silly me.
Yeah. That's what happened. So Derek Nimmo got in first, and there are 32 seconds for you, Derek, on superstition, starting now.
I have a lot of very peculiar superstitions. For instance, I never crush an earwig on the first Tuesday of the month. Every time I see a rabbit in a shop on a Thursday in March, I reach for a motor car horn and blow it loudly. This I carry with me in a pocket, you see, especially for the occasion. Walking under ladders, I don't mind at all. I think it's the greatest sport, particularly if there's somebody at the top and you give it a bang and he falls over. That doesn't really make it too much. But some people have too many superstitions.
So Jerry Nimmo took the subject of superstition, kept going to the whistle when gained the extra point, and he has increased his lead at the end of the round. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, deal. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, I'm really very pleased to be given deal, because that is a pier that I remember particularly well. You went down to deal along the promenade, up the esplanade, towards the beach, and there was the broad walk. With a pier going some...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Two piers.
Yes, you see, the pier was a subject in the other one.
Ah,
and
yes.
Deal's a subject
I
now.
I hardly mentioned it last time.
So, Derek, you got in with the correct challenge, and there are 45 seconds for you to tell us something about Deal, starting now.
One of the most exciting moments of my life was in Las Vegas, and I went into Glitter Gulch, where they have the biggest poker game in the world, and I played within it. A fellow called Pugsy won the game. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were stashed up on the table, and I dealt my cards in a crafty way. For no, I could not beat these chaps, because they were champions. Now, deal is a frightfully good bit of pine wood, which you can use sometimes for doing a bit of cobbling in the kitchen. And I like it, actually. It's not a particularly pretty...
Clement Freud's challenge.
Repetition of game earlier on.
That's right. You mentioned the game earlier on.
I didn't want to come
in
too soon.
When you went to the casino.
I was in the kitchen.
Oh, he was being very sporting and letting you go on so as to hear you, because he enjoyed it. And also, it meant he only got in with 11 seconds to talk on the subject. It was also extremely clever, and I thought rather clever of me to have been able to listen so intently that I spotted it all. And 11 seconds for you,
I don't Clemens. Believe you did, actually. Yeah.
But, actually, I thought you had him for deviation, because deal couldn't be another form of pine. 11 seconds for you, Clement. Deal starting now.
Dover is a very good coastal town on one side of Deal, and there are all sorts of facilities, like cross-channel ferries that...
So Clement Freud speaking as a whistle. When got the extra point, he's still in second place behind Eric Nimmo. Barry Crowe's in third place, and he begins the next round. Barry, the subject is Peter the Great. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Peter the Great also eclipsed the first, married Catherine. He came to Deptford once to view our navy and model the former gentleman.
Oh, it is tough, isn't it? Oh, yes. Sir Daniel, are you challenged? Will you tell us
senile decay, I mean.
Well, maybe you recognise the symptoms.
Touché.
So, Derek, you have 49 seconds to tell us something about Peter the Great, starting now.
He moved the capital of Russia to St. Petersburg, or Petrograd, as it's called, after the...
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
It was called Petrograd.
You're quite right, it was called Petrograd, yes, St. Petersburg.
Oh, right, all right.
42 seconds for you, Clement, on Peter the Great, starting now.
I do not have any sons called Peter the Great, who are neither thin, tall, or thick. But if I...
Barry Crouch, challenge.
It's irrelevant if Clement's got no sons at all called Peter the Great, when the subject is Peter the Great. And what bearing can this possibly have upon anything?
I thought you were going to say he hesitated. I would have agreed. But he...
Yes, and hesitated, yes.
The fact that he has no sons called Peter the Great, he's still talking about the subject of Peter the Great, you see, really. But as you haven't played quite as often as Clement Freud, I'll be generous and give you the hesitation which I gave to you in the first place and tell you there's 35 seconds, Barry, for you to tell us something about Peter the Great starting now.
Peter the Great was in all senses an impresario, a sort of Michael Grad of his day. He reformed the navy, reorganized the army, and, as I said in a previous existence, came to Deptford to view our nautical...
Very number challenge.
Self-confessed repetition of Deptford.
What about Deptford?
Self-confessed repetition. He said Deptford the first time he was off.
No, he didn't.
Repetition. No.
Yes, if you were interrupted, you did say
it
before. But I would have said it was so mumbled, I wouldn't have accepted it, Barry. But I'm afraid you've committed yourself out of your own fair mouth.
I think
so
I only came to read the meter.
Right. 21 seconds for you, Derek, on Peter the Great, starting now.
As Barry so rightly said, he was a great traveller, extraordinary man, really, because he went to Holland, to Amsterdam, and he worked in the shipyard there for 3 months. It was quite amazing. Then came to England and found this whole collection of artisans, doctors, philosophers, carpenters, that he took with him back all the way to Russia, to St. Petersburg, which he...
Clement Freud challenged with half a second to go.
It was repetition of St. Petersburg.
Yes, you see, you sent your piece of Petersburg before. So Clement got in with half a second to go on Peter the Great, starting now.
Deptford.
But in spite of the extra point to Clement Freud, Derek Nimmo still in the lead by one, and they're both leading Barry Crowe and Christopher Timothy. And Derek, it's your turn to begin the subject. Iceland, will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Become frightfully popular these days for salmon fishing, hasn't it, really? People are always popping off there because they can't find that particular fish in Scottish waters anymore. I think it's a rather boring place, and any person you've ever heard coming from it is that chap called Magnus Magnusson, a know-all if you ever saw one, isn't it? But there we are. Early explorers found their customs there immensely strange. Do you know what they used to do at banquets? They used to have a lady standing at the side, and after the meal, they had to go round with a pot in. She put it on the table and helped the chap. And then they go round, circle round, all... What?
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of round.
Yes, he went round and round with the potty too often, I think.
Right. It's a rather unpleasant idea, anyway. I'm rather glad you stopped me.
Absolutely. So, Clement Freud, you had a correct challenge, and there are 28 seconds on Iceland starting now.
In the 1960s, Iceland was statistically a very important country because it had exactly 100,000 population. And whenever anybody wanted to know what percentage of people did what, it was extraordinarily easy to work it out. I was in Reykjavik for the Fischer-Spassky chess tournament, which was interesting because we all lived in Keflavik, which was some way from the central town. And the
So Clement Freud kept going with Iceland till the whistle went, gained another point for that, and he's now one ahead of Derek Nimmo, and Christopher Timothy begins the next round. Christopher, the subject, impersonation. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I have been told by people who probably do know better that actors who usually do classical roles are much better at that particular task if they have the ability to impersonate, which might be very significant, as I can only do two. One of them is, get off your horse and drink your milk. And the other one is, nice, I'm a man, Betty. That's, you've got it, that's Kirk Douglas and Dolly Parton. Now, when I was much younger, the people who impressed me most on the wireless were the people who used to do these wonderful impressions of famous people. And in those days, the most famous, I think, were John Wayne or perhaps Kirk Douglas. Later on, we moved through such celebrities as...
Yes, out of his own mouth. So, Clement, you got him with 15 seconds on impersonation starting now.
I'm not very good at impersonating people, but it is surprising how frequently I come across impersonations of me, especially by Derek Nimmo, who does this, boring his friends to absolute distraction by saying, let me tell you what...
So, Clement gained more points in that round and has increased his lead, and he begins the next round. The subject, Clement, is sales. Will you tell us something about that subject starting now?
Derek Nimmo is very good at sales.
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Well, he stopped.
56 seconds for you on sales, Derek, starting now.
Sales are very much part of our life in this country today.
Barry Cryer's challenge.
Who's he doing?
So you're challenging for deviation from Derek Nimmo, are you?
Deviation from...
yes, whatever.
Clarity.
So 50 seconds for you, Barry, on sales starting now.
Sales I dote upon every January. My lady wife and I are in our sleeping bags with the thermos flasks poised upon the pavement in a recumbent posture, if such you can be, waiting for those glass doors to open and let in the throng, the flood. We seize upon bargains, commodes, trusses, plasticine icebergs. I know a bargain when I see one. And we run through the store shouting, Mink, where are they, the foxy substances? We want to spend our money in a bargainish context.
Oh, well, Danny Nimmo pressed it, but I think to save Barry Cryer, because it was 10 seconds to go, and I think actually he would have expired if he'd gone for the other 10 seconds. He did, I must explain to our listeners, he did actually fall on the floor with the effort of his sales talk just at the end there. But 10 seconds for you now, Derek, on sales starting now.
I remember on the television, there used to be a programme called Sale of the Century. And on it, there was a very glorious fellow who used to run. I can't remember his name. I have no idea what happened to him, actually. But I think...
Why you should clap the idea that nobody knows what has happened to me. I must explain to many of our listeners, because we have lots of listeners in many countries throughout the world, that Sale of the Century was a very popular television program which I used to host. I'm not saying that because I wish to impress this audience, because they probably already know it. Derek Nimmo's challenge.
It wasn't popular.
Well, for an unpopular program, it ran for 14 years, which must be a record for an unpopular program. So,
most programs are about half an hour.
You mean you're going to come up with that old joke? It ran for half an hour, but felt like 14 years. Yes. Barry Cryer, it's your turn to begin. The subject for you that Ian Mester's got is Capability Brown. And I think he wishes to help you a little because he says Capability Brown, or you can talk on his cousin, Incapability Smith.
And I will discourse on the cousin.
Well, you can say what you like, because that is the subject on the card in front of me. And you have 60 seconds, as always, starting now.
Incapability Smith, a sad fellow born in 1832, which, as we know, is just after 6:30, was a man who could not handle anything remotely to do with gardening, which his cousin, par excellence, was a master, a maestro, a nonpareil.
Daring Nimmer challenged.
He couldn't have been his cousin.
Why not?
Because he was born in 1860, he's just said. Capability Brown, the cousin that we're talking about, actually died in 1740.
I know, but you see, his this cousin, Smith, there was a late marriage. There was a late...
And they
can see very late in life, and so...
They were late bloomers.
They were late bloomers. Didn't get the bloomers off till quite late. So that was an incorrect challenge, another point to Barry Cryer, and 44 seconds on whichever you like, Capability Brown or his cousin, Incapability Smith, starting now.
Incapability would make his way down to the lawn and watch the young couples on the verge, and this gave him ideas for future activities. He bred Virginia creepers that crept away, runner beans that fled at the very sight of him. The man was the antithesis of green fingers. He was blue digits. Plants, flowers, weeds, moss would shriek at the very sight of this man's approach. He would only enter a garden and...
Derek Nimmo challenging.
Repeated, he would only, the phrase, he would only several times.
Correct.
I know, correct, yes. But we would love him to go on and see if he'd fall off his chair again.
Very nice, I like it. He's got an unusual
because
style.
Because I will say that.
It's called failure.
Say of all the guests on Just Minute, I mean, I think Barry Cryer has the most unusual approach to the game. I've never seen a man put so much effort into his speech. But Derek got him with the correct challenge. 14 seconds, Derek, on Capability Brown or his cousin, Incapability Smith, starting now.
I once owned a restaurant, a party, and one in South Kensington, which was
General Freud, a challenge.
I challenge about he owned one, because he only partly owned one. I owned a bit of it. It was a disaster.
I think both got Swiss, didn't we?
I think you should both keep your private life to yourselves. I mean, this is not the place to edit. But actually, as you got out with the sentence about partly and one corrected yourself before Clement challenged, I have to be fair and say you keep the subject with 11 seconds, starting now.
Lancelot Brown, commonly known as Capability, is without doubt the greatest landscape gardener this country has ever known. If you look around the great estates like Blenheim, Castlehaven, and so on, where he...
So Derek Nimmo took the subject, kept going to the whistle when gained an extra point for that and others, and he has overtaken Clement Freud. He's in the lead now, and he begins the next round. Derek, the subject is genes. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Yes, well, Kelvin Klein is a kind of gene manufacturer, and all over the Far East, from Bangkok to Singapore, Kuala Lumpur, Hong Kong, Taipei, Seoul...
Barry Cryer challenge.
Am I allowed a point of information?
Yes.
Could I ask Derek, not in any sense of an interruption, what was the name you referred to as the branded?
Kelvin Klein.
Kelvin Klein?
Yes, yes.
Is that the name of a jeans manufacturer or an actor?
Yes. It's probably the name of both, actually.
Ah, I do apologise. Do continue,
yes,
Derek.
Yes.
Well, I think that has really lifted the show. One of the most exciting moments in just a minute. But,
it was quite torrid, wasn't it?
Yes, yes. So well, we won't count any points for that. And Derek continues with 46 seconds on genes, starting now.
Out in the outback of Australia, with my man from Snowy River hat on, my genes encasing my bristling thighs, I leap onto the most enormous saddle and ride over to Ayers Rock. And they say, "What ho, Nimmo, you've come back here again, sport, have you?" And I say, "I've been asked to be here too." And they look at my jeans and say, "Gosh, you've got a natty pair of jeans on." And I say, "Yes, but you should see Rosie's." And they know I know what I'm talking about, nor of course have I. That's why I like talking about jeans so much. Now, the other day I was in Madrid, and what did you think I saw? I saw an Eskimo.
A Clement Freud challenge. Because you like me to... You like to tell me your challenges, don't you, Clement?
Two saws.
There were two saws, yes.
It was Mr.
Timothy. Those sort of saws. I saw. S.A.W.'s 4 seconds, Clement got in on the Samuel Jeans. And the last round, and what is this got? Yes, oh, there's a 2-point difference, and there's a last round, and 4 seconds are left. Jeans starting now.
If there are 4 seconds left for Jeans and only 2 points in it, it's...
The only hope was, you see, Clement, that you might have been able to be terribly clever and get an incorrect challenge, and then, of course, you could have finished up alongside Derek Nimmo. But it wasn't to be, and I'm afraid what has to be is that there's no more time this week to play Just a Minute. Let me tell you that Christopher Timothy, who's not played as frequently as Derek and Clement, did very well. Didn't get many points, but he did very well. Barry Cryer fell off his chair a couple of times, and... gave tremendous energy in the show and tremendous wit and vibrant repartee, and he was in third place. Clement Freud came just 1 point behind the man who got most points this week, so we call him the winner, Derek Nimmo. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this edition of Just a Minute. We've enjoyed playing the game, and it only remains for me to say, on behalf of our four delightful panellists, Christopher Timothy, Clement Freud, Barry Cryer, and Derek Nimmo, and of course the creator of the game, Ian Messiter, and our producer, Edward Taylor, and myself, Nicholas Parsons, thank you very much for tuning in, staying with us until the end, and we hope that you will want to tune in again when we take the air once more and play Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.